Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. For more information about CRI, contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Today's broadcast is a special presentation of a message Hank delivered at Living Hope Bible Church in Bellevue, Washington. In this message, Hank contrasts the biblical doctrine of faith with that of today's popular teachers. Let's listen now as Hank Hanegraaff explains the meaning of faith.
I want to draw our attention this morning as we begin a message on faith to the divinest composition of humankind. The book of Ephesians, in my view, is just that, neatly divided between doctrine and deeds. Three chapters on doctrine, three chapters on the practical application of that doctrine in our everyday lives. The subject for this morning is faith. Faith has been prostituted. And in Ephesians, when Paul concludes his letter, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand." A stand against what? Paul says against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, says Paul, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, says Paul, take up the shield of faith, by which you may extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And then Paul says, be alert. Keep on praying for all the saints. And then he says, pray also for me so that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I may proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul not only was an ambassador in chains, but he exhorts each one of us to do likewise, to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, most of us are secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. But Paul calls us to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. It is through us that the will and purposes of God are made manifest to a lost and searching world. In recounting the full armor of God, although I'll touch on each piece rapidly, just for contextualization, I want to focus on the centerpiece. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, what's important about the full armor of God is that if you put it on, you are invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. So putting on the full armor of God is not an option for the believer. It is axiomatic for the believer. Put on the full armor of God. And of course, it all starts with truth. Truth is central to a biblical worldview. Just as your waist is the center of your body, so truth is central to the Christian faith. Without truth, we perish. And of course, we live in an age of information overload where internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on, a paraphrase from Mark Twain. So we need to be able to discern between that which is true and that which is false. In context of today's message, we need to know the distinction between biblical faith and what masquerades as faith in the largest churches, not only in America, but indeed throughout the world. But truth without righteousness is abhorrent, no matter how clear and correct our orthodoxy is. If it is not augmented by righteousness, we lose the moral imperative to speak. And as such, we must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Truth without righteousness is as ugly as a man's head would be on the shoulders of a beast. Righteousness is the essence of Christianity compressed in a single word. And then we are to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In essence, that is not only peace with God, but peace with men. It is the kind of peace that Horatio Spafford wrote about when he said, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And just for purposes of contextualization, Horatio Spafford wrote that after he had lost his four daughters, Bessie, Annie, Maggie, and Tanetta. They drowned in the Atlantic when the vessel they were on was broadsided by another. Not only so, but he had recently lost his son, his only son, and he had lost his real estate investments in the Chicago fire. And yet, in the rolling sea billows that took his prized possessions, he was able to write those words. Why? Peace with God, viewing life with eternity in mind. Peace with God that allows us to have peace with others as well. Not an artificial peace, not a manufactured peace, but peace in the midst of the storm. Life is one storm after another. Take it from an old man with 12 children and 6 grandchildren. Life is one storm after another. You can never evade the storms. Our goal is to have peace in the midst of life storms, because we have a radar fix on a Creator who has every moment, every exigency of our lives firmly in hand. And then, of course, Paul goes on to talk about the helmet of salvation, the helmet which deflects the blows of life, because we look towards our salvation. He talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A quick reminder for all of us to mine the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God. By the way, meditation is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. We don't meditate as the Buddhists do. We don't empty our mind. Our meditation is object-oriented. We meditate upon the Word of God day and night. Paul rounds out the full armor of God by speaking about prayer. Prayer is a defense for all defenses. It is an opportunity to build a relationship with the lover of our souls. As we talk about the Word of Faith movement, and we talk about a prostitution of faith, you see it first and foremost in the notion that prayer is a means by which we can extract things from God. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is an opportunity to build a relationship with the lover of your soul out of which everything else flows. If we're honest with ourselves, most have learned to pray backwards. We rush into God's presence with a laundry list of prayer requests, and before our knees have ever hit the floor, we're already thinking about rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. We treat our Heavenly Father no better than we often treat our most prized relationships. We want intimacy without the investment of quality time. The covering, the full armor of God. If you put it on, you can stand against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. But my focus today is on the concept of faith. What is true biblical faith? Well, we start by looking at a false view of faith. I want to take just a few moments to give you some quotations from some of the most prolific and prominent faith teachers in the country today. They are dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose. And lest someone be offended that I use names, let me point out that during the Tylenol scare, Tylenol was laced with cyanide, and it was identified. Because if you took it, it was physically dangerous. The same thing holds true with spiritual cyanide, communicated by the megadose over the public airwaves. There's a biblical precedent for naming names. These things are not done in a corner. They're done publicly. Joel Osteen believes that faith is a force. These are not my contentions. These are his. Prominently proliferated publicly. Faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. And through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. Your faith-filled words are like a giant battery, a negative pole, a positive pole. If you speak words of faith, you get what you speak, because words create reality. If you speak words of fear, you get what you speak, because again, words create reality. And as he explains, this works whether what you say is good or bad. Quote, "It is not enough," he says, "to simply see it by faith or in your imagination. You have to begin speaking words of faith over your life. Your words have enormous creative power. The moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, and it works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative. So Jessica Lunsford, a 9-year-old Florida girl, brutally raped and murdered. In New Thought metaphysics, or in faith vernacular, whether it is communicated for a Christian audience or for metaphysical practitioners, the principle is the same. She drew that evil to herself, and therefore she is responsible for it. I saw Joe Vitale, a metaphysical practitioner, New Thought Metaphysics, on Larry King, who said explicitly that. And now we have imported that into our Christian subculture. We have lightly papered it over with Christian vernacular, and we're feeding it to our flock.
Stay tuned for more of this vital message as Hank continues to define and defend the biblical doctrine of faith. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely listener-supported, so we depend on the prayers and gifts of listeners like you. If you have been blessed by the ministry of CRI, please partner with us with your prayers and financial support. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
you're listening to a special presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, featuring a message delivered at Living Hope Bible Church on the meaning of faith. In the previous segment, Hank explained the full armor of God delineated by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. And to illustrate the difference between biblical faith and the message of many popular teachers, Hank quoted megachurch leader and best-selling author Joel Osteen. Well, Hank continues now with a quote from the father of the Word of Faith movement, Kenneth Hagin.
Faith is not only a force, but faith is a formula. Jesus was standing 3 feet from Kenneth Hagin, at least as Kenneth Hagin, the father of the faith movement, puts it. And Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, get a pencil and a piece of paper and write this down. 1, 2, 3, 4. Says Jesus, say it, number one. Do it, number two. Receive it, number three. And tell it, number four. And then says Jesus, if anyone anywhere will take these 4 steps, he will always receive whatever he wants. It would be a waste of time to pray when you can write your own ticket with God. Now, there have been all kinds of permutations of this formula of faith being communicated to Christians in pews. Not only has this been communicated verbally, but it is being prolificated in writing. A number of years ago, there was a book that was a phenomenon in Christian circles. It was called The Prayer of Jabez. And essentially, it was a way by formula to extract things from God. If you had the right formula and you communicated it properly, you could get anything you wanted. A palace like the Taj Mahal, a Rolls Royce in your driveway, it all depends upon knowing the formula, as though God is a capricious God waiting for you to get it right. If you have the formula, you get what you want from God. The Secret by Rhonda Byrne was the New Thought metaphysics permutation of this same thing. And I was astounded at how many Christians bought the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. You know, Satan never presents error in its naked deformity. If he did, we'd never buy it. He gives us the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie, an empty bauble that glistens and shimmers and looks so good, but in the end is deadly. Third quote. We have faith as a force, faith as a formula. And now we're told by Word of Faith teachers that God himself has faith, that God is a faith being, that God created the universe because he lined himself up with a universal force, and that force is faith. Creflo Dollar said it about as clearly as anyone could. He said, God used faith substance to make everything that he made. His words are nothing but containers that are filled with faith. So words are containers, and they are filled with a substance. That substance is faith, he says. God's guts are called faith stuff. If you were to cut God open, you'd see nothing but faith. The words of Creflo Dollar, God created not only the universe by faith, but God creates everything by faith. In fact, God used his faith-filled words to speak Jesus Christ into existence. God is a prisoner to the law of faith. God cannot do anything without faith. In fact, God can do nothing in the earth realm unless we permit him to do it with our faith-filled words. This is a serious prostitution of faith. Now, lest anyone think that I am embellishing or overstating the case, my book, Christianity in Crisis, is heavily documented. I first published it in 1993. It has sold millions of copies worldwide. It has never been challenged in terms of its accuracy. I'm simply communicating what the faith movement clearly communicates. This is not a text taken out of context, used as a pretext. This is the essential message of the faith movement. This is a prostituted view of faith. Fourth and last example. So we have words as the containers of faith. So faith is a force. We have the formula of faith. We have the faith of God. And finally, the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, in the Faith Hall of Fame, you do not find Hebrews chapter 11. Rather, you find the faith teachers themselves. And the idea is this: if you do not have enough faith, the faith teachers will exercise their faith for you. And so you can use them as your conduit. Benny Hinn. And I do not speak out of turn. I have had many private dinners with Benny Hinn over the years. This is what Benny Hinn believes. This is what he teaches. Quote, "You know, we have all heard this a million times, and it is not scriptural. We've heard it all because of Job. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I have news for you, says Benny Hinn. That's not Bible. The Lord giveth and never taketh away. And just because he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," doesn't mean Job's right. When Job said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," he was just being religious. And being religious doesn't mean you are right. Now, here's the problem. The problem is faith teachers get away with what they say because we don't know the Word of God. Scarcely 30 or 40 years ago, people would immediately have called a mega superstar in the faith movement to task for saying something like that. Today we go, "Wow, I wonder if he's right. Well, he's got a Bible and a big platform, he must be right. Surely, it could not be deceiving us." But if we knew our Bibles, not even in context of the whole book of Job, but in the immediate context, we would know that the very next verse says, "In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." The text out of context is a pretext. You know, I can make the Bible say anything I want to say if I take it out of context. I can even tell you that the Bible overtly declares there is no God. But I have taken a phrase from the Bible out of context. For as you well know, the Bible doesn't say that at all. It says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." We're told by the faith teachers that We are taught by Scripture to call those things that are not as though they were. In reality, if you read the passage, you find out not we, but God calls those things that are not as though they were. And yet this is a favorite proof text to both Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer. Now the point here is that we need discernment skills such that we can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. If we do not have discernment skills, we will fall for myriad error. If that is a false view of faith, the question becomes, what is a true view of faith? Well, I want to give you three basic principles with respect to faith. The faith teachers will go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and say that faith is a substance. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There you have it. Faith is a substance. And then they extrapolate from that that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. From the force of faith, one can create their own reality. But that is where we need to understand the meaning of words in context. Is faith a substance? No. The writer of Hebrews in context is not saying faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. The writer of Hebrews is saying faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that is the first point I want to rivet in your mind. In biblical vernacular, faith is a channel of living trust, an assurance that stretches from man to God. In other words, it is the object of faith that renders faith faithful. Now, this should not be missed on any one of you, because the distinction is this. The distinction between having faith in faith and having faith in a faithful God. It is the object of faith that renders faith faithful. Again, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. Faith is only as good as the object in which it is placed. So if our faith is in God, it is well-placed faith. If it is not, it is simply credulity. And so we are taught by Scripture to trust God, even when we do not understand. That is the true message of Job. Job trusted God despite the winds that blew his life into oblivion. Though he slay me, said Job, yet will I trust in him. The message of Job is not understanding why. Indeed, the Bible never really answers the why question. It teaches you to trust God in the midst of your whys.
Hank will be back after this short break with more of this important message. If you want to learn more about the Word of Faith movement growing within the body of Christ, Hank Hanegraaff's book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, deals with today's most prominent faith teachers and gives you the tools to discern between truth and error and points us back to a Christianity centered in Christ. To receive Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century as our thank you gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Listening to a special presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, featuring a message delivered at Living Hope Bible Church in Bellevue, Washington, on the meaning of faith. Earlier in today's broadcast, Hank quoted from several prominent Word of Faith teachers in order to expose their erroneous doctrine of faith. Listen now as Hank explains the meaning of true and authentic biblical faith through the life of God's upright servant, Job.
Though he slay me, said Job, yet will I trust in him. The message of Job is not understanding why. Indeed, the Bible never really answers the why question. It teaches you to trust God in the midst of your whys. How relevant is that? Let me tell you. Every one of us will face the exigencies of life. A child will die. A mother will contract Parkinson's. A husband will lose a job. Disease, decay, destruction is a reality for each one of us, and none, whether rich or poor, can escape its reality. By the way, that is precisely why the faith movement has such a great following. You're told that you can escape the exigencies of life. That is why so many people parade through the front doors, why the audiences are so large. But here's what we don't see. Those that fall out of the back door of those auditoriums, into the kingdom of the cults, not knowing who to believe or what to trust. Their faith forever shattered because it was not genuine faith, it was false faith. The message of Job is that he trusted God, though he did not understand. In fact, Job is called righteous because of his pronouncements of faith, but he wants to know why. Why did my children die under the roof of a collapsing house? Why am I covered with painful sores? Is it my secret sin? Should I follow the admonition of my wife, curse God, and die? Why? Why is this happening to me? And the takeaway from the book of Job is this. Job hears a message from God himself. And God thunders through the cloud. And he says to Job, you want to know why? Why you cannot even understand how I create a tiny drop of dew? How can you understand what is going on in the heavenlies? In essence, God said to Job, trying to explain me to you is like trying to explain Einstein to a small-necked clam. You wouldn't get it. My ways are higher than your ways. My purposes are beyond your comprehension. But you know enough about me. I have revealed myself with enough clarity that you can trust me. And so the message of Christianity is not escape from suffering via our faith. The message of Christianity is peace in the midst of the storm. Peace because we know that an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, available always at all times to all parts of his creation, has every detail of our lives under his sovereign control. That there isn't the slightest thing that can come into your life, whether it's a tiny hair that falls from your head, or the death of a loved one, that God does not have a purpose for. All things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I do not choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God reveal the colors and explain the reason why the dark side is as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of pain and sorrow in the pattern he has planned. We see the jangled underside of a tapestry. The tapestry, however, is beautiful, purposeful, meaningful, and has an enduring value even in eternity. Trust. How do you learn to trust God? You get to know him through 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. You get to know him through the magistry, the tapestry, if you will, of his word. Faith is trusting God, not because you have the answer. Ah, now I understand why God did this. Is trusting Him despite having the answer.
Those like Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, who were commended for their faith, says Hebrews, because their faith was fixed on God. My first point is that faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. And faith is rendered faithful because God is faithful. My second point is this. Faith is preeminent among the graces because it is forged from the finished work of Christ. In other words, it is fashioned from the blood-red fabric of Christ's righteousness. Therefore, when we become believers through faith in Jesus Christ, we do not somehow or other enhance our faith. No, we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is described in Scripture as a foreign righteousness that comes not by law. It comes not by works. It is a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. I love what Luther says. He called us snow-covered dung. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we ourselves remain sinners. We struggle with the powerful lure of sin. Paul himself says that in Romans chapter 7, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, I do. Who can save me from this body of death? He is not simply obfuscating or finding some loophole. He is describing the powerful lure of sin.
Christ's righteousness is the covering.
Faith is the hand that puts it on. Faith is not mere knowledge. Certainly, saving faith is more than mere knowledge. You can know about Jesus Christ. You can believe that He has every detail of your life under control. But that's not enough. The devil knows that and trembles. You can agree that the knowledge you have is true and sound and correct, and yet that still is not enough. True saving faith is not just knowledge, it's not even knowledge augmented by agreement. True saving faith is trusting, depending on Jesus Christ alone. By way of illustration, I could have a sickness, and I could know that a medicine would cure me. I could agree that that medicine had cured all kinds of others. But until I take that medicine, I'm demonstrating that I do not trust that medicine. And so it is with saving faith. It takes more than knowledge. It takes more than agreement. Ultimately, it is depending on Jesus Christ alone. As I said the other day, the gospel is not due. It is done through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Finally, the shield of faith is paramount because it is the grace with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That is not an uncertain promise. Rather, it is divine assurance that faith equips us to escape the very extremities of evil. Says John, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The world
fuels an unholy trinity, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and what he does. Faith focuses on the permanent pleasures of paradise rather than the pseudo-pleasures of the present. It blinds the unclean eye that lusts after pornography or prosperity. And it deadens the pride of life that counts praise from men more than praise from God. In summary, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. Faith is forged from the finished work of Jesus Christ. And faith is the grace by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith is ultimately rooted in the fact that we know that our Lord is faithful. He did what he said he would do. He laid down his life. He took it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. We know by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he is God. He is faithful. And therefore, Job can say, my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And because he will stand upon the earth, so will you and I. And so we live our lives not for wealth and prosperity, for popularity or political correctness, but we live our lives with eternity in mind, ever focusing on the faithfulness of our Redeemer, who we can trust with every exigency of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our prayer is that the message has deepened your understanding of true biblical faith. For more equipping resources or to partner with us, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what he promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.